Now entering Nerdist.com.
People are coming to pick up the television.
So you have to take the phone call?
The people that are coming to pick up the Samsung.
Blue Jean, I just met a girl named Blue Jean.
Sorry, I just heard Bowie on the way over here.
Bowie. David Bowie.
Whoa!
What happened?
No, this was on way loud.
Yeah, no, I heard that from here.
Yeah.
Welcome, guys, to your hostful Nerdist podcast.
When was the last time this mic sucks, huh?
I don't know. Let me take a listen.
I can move over here.
You sound okay.
It does?
I think so.
It sounds wonky in this one.
That might be your headphones.
Maybe the input.
These are brand new.
Although, wait. If we sound okay and you sound wonky, you might as well move.
The first 10 minutes of any Nerdist podcast talking about the audio quality, trying to get it set up. Our apologies. I could cut it out, but I don't.
Someone
maybe episode 200.
Someone do a supercut.
Someone made a drinking game, and one of the rules of the drinking game was whenever we talk about the audio at the beginning.
I would like to read the rules of this drinking game.
Of the podcast. It's somewhere. How do you sound now?
I think maybe it's just my voice doesn't register in my own head anymore.
Nah, it's your headphones. You sound fine.
Your headphones do look exceptionally
shitty.
But you guys sound
great. I sound tinny.
Jonah, years of radio experience.
You came up on radio. And you got a face for it, too.
No, I came up on the CB. Cannonball coming at you.
Guys got a face for cartoons.
Ooh.
Yes. No, actually, I started working in television first, then radio.
Yeah, I know.
That's how that worked.
That's a reverse thing.
It was weird.
How did you feel when you had to go to radio from television?
No, I was very excited about it because it was K-Rock.
That was back when radio was something.
Yeah, 1995.
That's fair.
Jenny McCarthy and I went on the Kevin and Bean show on K-Rock to promote a new MTV show called Singled Out. And their program director offered me a job after that.
Wow.
That's crazy.
But it was the overnight show, so I worked from midnight to 5. And K-Rock was such an awesome place to work back then because grunge had just popped nationwide, and K-Rock was a station that was directing where, you know, like a lot of new music was coming through K-Rock. Yeah. They were really...
So when you were working overnights and then going to work on Singled Out, were you like the Beta Seacrest?
I was Beta Seacrest. I was Proto Seacrest. Proto Crest.
I'm glad they got the Alpha.
I was Proto Crest.
That way we could have you.
No, I was B-Crest. The next model was Seacrest. Yeah. The way that would it work is that we would shoot Singled Out like 2 or 3 days a week, and there was one day of crossover where, you know, we'd finish shooting Singled Out at like 7 or 8 o'clock at night because we shoot 4 episodes of that show a day. And then, I would have dinner, and then I would go to K-Rock around 11:30 and then work midnight to 5. So that was,
that's gnarly.
It was because I had gone from no radio experience to all of a sudden I was alone, literally alone. There was no one else in the station. We didn't have a phone screener at that hour.
Did you have to get like certified?
Yeah. I had to get a license.
We're going to hire you, but take these classes.
I had to get an operator's license, and then I had to go in for a handful of shifts and learn how to run the board and all that stuff. And K-Rock used to have this book that had like every operator's license in there. So just like from the beginning of K-Rock, you'd see these really old, like Jed the Fish's operating license. I know he's still on, but even just like dating back, like Rodney Bingenheimer and all those guys.
Rodney Bingenheimer has been relegated to that, to just being kind of like a jokey soundbite guy on that.
Rodney.
It's like on Kevin and Bean, they'll just play soundbites of him going, oh, wow.
Oh, hey.
Yeah.
He was such a sweet guy, but that's really how he was. Hey.
Oh, the Donnas, I played their first 7-inch. Wow, yeah, it was real good.
I remember back in those days, Fred Schneider and I used to hang out and get waffles.
Yeah, Tears for Fears, real good. Gonna play him again. Highest requested song.
Originally,
the highest requested song. It was, the anything song.
Oh, the band's first name was Smiles for Courage.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that didn't really pop. I thought it was too aggressive.
Your laugh sound accusatory at times.
So they went to Tears for Fears.
No, you just always put that on me.
I'm doing my own bit over here. That's fair. I don't need you guys.
It's just it's a very, we're very far away.
We're having our own
podcast. And if we had our headphones, we could hear you. So but far I noticed away I was the only one.
From me.
Yeah, we're all going
to Canless. So we got to speak up.
Canless podcast.
I watched the Jerry Lewis documentary on Encore.
Yep.
Jerry Lewis, Method to the Madness.
Encore, Encore.
The Encore channel. I was watching it and I was feeling kind of weird. I was like, something seems weird about this. It just doesn't seem like a legit documentary.
It's the medication.
And then the first credit, like title card after when it's done is executive produced Jerry Lewis.
Oh.
And so clearly he saw the Don Rickles project, Mr. Warm, or the Joan Rivers documentary. He's all, yes, what I want. I want a big orchestra, one of my shows. I want you filming one of my shows where I'm on stage and there's a big orchestra behind me. And I'm like, just killing the crowd.
Hey, Michael, come in. You can get your stuff.
I'm sorry. I thought it was a holiday.
No, it's fine. Hey, no, yeah.
We have no holidays.
We work year-round, Michael Yo. I don't know what's going on over at Studios.
Where are you? Shout out my Twitter name so I can get Twitter.
Hop over here for a sec.
Huh?
Just hop on for
you
one second.
You never put me on your show, and I'm so upset about that.
We're putting in the show now. Yeah, no, we need to book you. It's my fault because I fucking do everything myself. But,
oh, really?
Yeah. I just hired people to start helping.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you?
I did.
Hmm.
Right? You're making money now. See, that's what happens.
Yeah, we're making cash. We're making coin. We're making coin. Literally coins. We're getting paid in coins.
We're making lots of coins.
We bought a coin press.
Yeah,
we're making coins.
I like that. Yeah. I like that.
How are you doing? What's going on for the holidays?
I'm going to Houston, Texas, and then I got five shows. New Year's, like December 29th through the 1st at Marco Island.
Oh yeah,
Captain Brian's doing it out there, staying on a resort and doing some stand up comedy.
Nice.
Wow, nice.
Yeah.
That's rad.
How's everything been going? What's big in the world of E these days?
You know, December 26th, which is next Monday, I'm going to Dallas.
Yep.
And going to a Mavericks game to see Chloe and Lamar, so that'll be fun.
Really?
Yeah, I was on...
So you're not going to go see the game, you're just going to go see them?
No, I'm going to the game.
Are they playing? They're going to put Chloe in.
No.
See, finally, then I would... If
and
that
then
happened,
she dunks on somebody.
Yeah. Oh, awesome.
Then at least I would be able to define what it is the Kardashians actually do.
Oh, okay, come on, she dunks. Man. You got to admit.
Any other news organization would be sending him to go see the defending champions play. He's going to see Chloe and Lamar.
No, yeah. I mean, I was on their show, Courtney and Chloe.
I know.
But what I'm saying is people are like, oh, they don't have talent. Well, there is a talent to get people to keep coming back and watching you every single week.
That's
why they made Four Faces of Death.
In the old days, the German word geck was a wild man who would bite the heads off chickens.
Okay.
And people would come back week after week
To watch that.
So there was a skill there.
But there is a lot of reality shows come and go, and successful ones where they don't make money after the show. These people, they made $65 million last year.
Oh, that hurts my soul.
It's a business.
Michael,
have you become friends with them now?
Oh, yeah. I'm really good friends with Chloe, so don't say any trash.
No.
Because I will thrash you.
Ah, shit.
Yeah.
I've never said anything about the Kardashians on the show.
Did you ever have some kind of like reservations at first where you're like, why do I have to care?
No.
Besides the fact that it was your job.
You know what? Because I did radio. I did Yo on E, and I met a lot of celebrities through that way of interviewing them and stuff. And you really get to know them like during radio interviews rather than TV interviews where you're just looking for sound bites. Like when you're sitting in a room with someone, you really get the sense of who they are and why that show is so successful. Not that I want to talk about the Kardashians on this show, but they are as real as they are. Like when they say cut on the, they're still the same people.
I got to say, what's interesting is as long as I've been doing everything, I find that the people that I've shit on the most, and then you meet them and they turn out to be really nice and you're
the
like,
people.
Fuck.
And then the people,
they're human beings. You forget that people are human beings.
Then the people that are like so nice on TV, you find out are really dicks in real life.
Yeah.
You
know Tim what Allen.
What? Tim Allen a dick?
No, but
making that up.
But I tell you, everybody talked trash about Tom Cruise. I don't know if anybody's met Tom, one of the nicest people you ever meet in your life.
Well, I went to the Mission Impossible premiere in London. Yeah. And Simon Pegg was saying, he was like, I worked with the guy almost every day. He was literally the nicest person you could ever.
I've heard that.
Not in a creepy way. And just like, he's just a nice, regular guy.
You know, one thing that stood out about me when I talked to him, and this is off camera too, he looks you right in the eye, which, I mean, he pays attention to you. He doesn't care what's going on. When he's talking to you, he's talking to you. He is focused.
So you've interviewed Tom Cruise.
I've interviewed him, but then I've hung out backstage at concerts with him and Will Smith. And Will Smith is cut from the same, like, nice guy too. Not like we're hanging, but, you know, have conversations with him.
Is Will Smith really funny? in conversation?
He is. You know what? He's a warm guy. And that's what I get. Like, when I interview a reality star and they give me attitude, or it's like, they just do the wrong things. This guy makes $20 million a film and is the nicest. Like, literally, I know that I said Tom was the nicest, but Will Smith is genuine, nice.
I think they should fight to see who's the nicest guy.
I would watch that movie.
That would be awesome.
That would be a fucking pay-per-view.
And that would be a great movie, The Nicest Guy, and have them go against each other. And
they have to be
out-nicing each other.
Out-nicing each other. Yeah, well, Will Smith might have the reach on Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise is not, people say like, oh, he's not super tall. He's not a short guy. Like, he's just not 6'2".
No, no, I mean, he's 5'9".
Yeah.
What are you, like?
5'10".
Oh, that's why you say he's not a short guy.
Yeah,
all right, I understand.
What's wrong with that, Michael? What are you,
like,
6'2"?
Can I put up my Twitter?
Please.
Because you have millions of at Michael Yo, at Michael Yo, at Michael Yo.
So it's three Michael Yos?
No. Yeah. Oh, damn it. I'm messing up. Damn.
There's no room. It's just like retweeting. It's just YouTube.
No, just at Michael Yo.
At Michael Yo.
I have to go on set.
You're going to go do E! News?
Yeah, I have to go make news.
Okay, go make news.
On the show today? Was Rebecca Black on the show today?
Oh, no, 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 but I saw her walking around.
Yeah, yeah. I did something with her earlier.
Oh, did you? Are you serious?
Yeah. I told her, I was like, hey, I'm the guy that made you dress up in a dinosaur costume at the VMAs. And she's like, so you're the one that ruined my first time meeting Joe Jonas.
She said that to you?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Snarky.
Yeah.
Awesome. What a firecracker.
One more thing to say. At Michael Yo.
Bye, Michael Yo.
Bye.
Hey, Michael Yo is such a sweetheart. I still can't stand the Kardashians and what they represent, but I like Michael Yo.
Some of their faces are hard to look at. What? That was vague. Don't worry about it.
That was vague.
Well, no, like, no, Kim's really the like only Michael one Yo. That's good looking. And that's not so much anymore.
I'm not going to eliminate people, then they'll know who I'm talking about. But there's a couple that are pretty decent to look at. And then there's one, you're like, what is going
that's
on?
Chloe, right?
Jesus Christ, Jonah. No.
Guys, it's not like we're all fucking prizes over here.
Well, I am.
You are.
You guys aren't.
I know. Yeah. That's what I was getting at. I was talking about me and Jonah.
I was at Target.
But you.
I was at Target last night, and I wanted trash bags.
All right, your majesty.
I wanted trash bags, and a woman was standing in front of the trash bags that I wanted, so I was just walking by, and she wasn't moving, and she turned to look at me, and her face, like, she had lipstick poorly applied and looked crazy, so I just kept going around the corner, and then I hear her yell to her friend, that fat asshole was just staring at me.
Oh.
And then I was like, wow. And then I think I heard a little bit more of what she was talking, and I was going to go over and say something to her, and then I was like, no, this is the Target where people get stabbed.
Yeah.
It wasn't really a stabbing. It was a sword assault.
It was a sword.
No, there were two incidences. One was a person with a kitchen knife they took from the kitchen section. And then there was a sword incident.
Well, that's resourceful.
Yeah.
And then you go to the trash bag section to dispose of the bodies in lawn and garden.
It was just like really...
Put them in a tent.
But what was weird about it is when she said that, I put back the M&Ms I was buying.
So did she do you a favor? Did crazy lady do you a favor?
I guess so.
Did you go thank her?
Wasn't like the poorly applied lipstick. Was it some kind of a Maria Bamford character that she goes into the Targets and...
Baby, look pretty now, mommy.
Yeah.
Oh, Bamford, one of my faves. Well, I'm sorry you had a.
It was so
horrible run in.
It's just weird being arbitrarily insulted.
Like, well, you were insulting her in your head.
Can I tell you something though?
No,
that was an IRL version of the internet.
Yeah, I guess so.
Where someone just says a thing where you're like, "Wow, you would say that to another person."
Well, I mean,
who was she talking to?
I think a friend.
Or
was
she talking to
somewhere?
Herself?
I don't know.
Might have been
Maybe
talking
she
to
was
herself.
Just,
I think she was talking
no
to a friend because when I was walking back down the aisle, I think she was on the other side of like the aisle walking the other way. And then I swear to God, out of the corner of my eye, I saw her stop. And then I heard someone say, just let it go.
Did you
Maybe
say to
that was her,
her
other personality?
Did you say to her, you belong in the trash bag aisle?
No, I just was like, well, I guess I'll put both of these bags of M&Ms back.
All right.
What kind?
I mean, the Christmas ones. I wanted them for Christmas morning.
Yeah.
Because Christmas is on a Sunday. Whatever. She wins.
I don't know if she wins.
She won.
I think she might be losing quite a lot.
She won.
Quite a lot.
Anyway, that was my last night.
There's a lot of fun stuff I want to talk about.
Do any of them involve boobs?
Yep. Damp, 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 damp. No.
All right. I guess I'll listen anyway.
No, I'm sorry. I can try to throw some tits
Work
on any story.
Work it in.
Any story is better. Just add tits. So, Louis C.K.'s new comedy special got some tits.
Man tits.
In the form of, he put it out online for $5.
$5, and he gave all the money to charity.
He gave all the money to charity?
Yep.
Whoa, that's silly.
What charity?
I can't remember. It was
Toys
for
Tits?
No, he asked Twitter which charity he should do, and not one in the U.S. because he had already given a bunch of money to some charity in the U.S. And so I can't remember.
Fuck the U.S.
Yeah, but he was asking everyone like which charity he should give it to.
And he picked a charity. That's amazing because he made a ton of money on that.
Yeah, and gave it all away.
No, he didn't.
He did.
The world made a ton of money.
The world. Yeah. You're absolutely right. Oh, well, that's really, well, that was resourceful and generous of him. Because I was thinking about it in the first 5 days, they said he made 200 grand, a profit, 200 grand profit. Yeah. So just doing some quick math in my head, I reasoned that was about 75,000 people. Because the special, I'm guessing, cost probably about 150 to shoot. It costs 100, 150 to shoot a comedy special.
Yeah.
And have it look good. And so then for profit on that, he was charging $5 a head, I think, or $5 a download. So, yeah, that put it like 75,000 people. And at first I thought, well, he probably would have made the same amount of money if he had done it with like HBO or Comedy Central. But then 1 million people would have seen it. So was it really better to do it that way? But
yeah, because there are way more people talking about it than had it been on HBO.
That's ultimately what I arrived on.
Yeah. Because yes. I would,
he's continuing to sell it,
and it's all his.
Yeah,
yep. It's nobody else's. It's not an HBO
special.
Well,
his manager
special.
Gets a cut, probably.
No, but it's his. You know.
I do. I mean, you know, there's no question that Louis is one of the best comics. I mean, in history, best comics, and particularly best comics working today. I mean, when you see where he goes with stuff. You just get mad. I'm not mad in an angry way. Just like, ah, fuck, that's so brilliant.
Yeah,
where that went, I never would have gone that way.
No, he's great. I saw him at the Universal Amphitheater earlier this year, and it was such a good show.
Yeah, he's gonna go down as one of the Carlin types.
Yeah, I think he's already there. Like it's like he's already like a young, you know, like when Carlin was just being heralded.
It's gonna the next 30 years will tell.
Yeah.
If Louis is going to put out a special and another 30 specials. I don't know, though. For me, though.
Carlin didn't even really do one a year.
No, he didn't. Well,
and one every few years.
No. But, didn't he do one? I think there was a very good stretch of like 12 years where it was one a year for him.
Yeah, no, there was a stretch, but it wasn't, you know.
Yeah, but let me ask your opinions on this. Do you think it's better to do a volume of material?
Yes.
Or do you think it's better to do one every few years where it's a little more special?
I like.
Does it lose some of its special? And I'm not judging either way. I'm curious to know what you guys think. Does it lose some of what's special about it if you do one every year? And then at a certain point, is it like, oh yeah, well, you know, he'd put out another one.
No, I think it's more prolific.
It is prolific, but does that necessarily mean that it's special? Prolific doesn't necessarily mean it's special. Prolific just means he's doing a lot of them.
Yes, but I'm just impressed. I'm more impressed by that.
It's impressive. And the thing is, though, if one isn't very good...
I'm not saying it's not impressive. I'm asking you if it's special.
No, like, I think it's the idea of doing it is very special.
Yeah.
A bigger event, like, it's like, well, you know, when a Chris Rock special comes out, it's a big deal. It's like, it's as big, like, HBO will push it like they used to, like, a Michael Jackson concert or a Madonna concert. They would... Months.
Would they do that if Chris Rock were doing a special every year? Probably not.
I think it's that time of year again. You know?
I mean, every comic's different. You know, there's only a handful of comics I could think of that could even come close to doing. I mean, just in terms of like how much that. I mean, Patton puts out albums pretty regularly. Like
every couple of years,
his material turns over like that. Patton. Yeah. Paul Tompkins is another guy where you see him like 2 months later and you're like, where the fuck did that 30-minute chunk come from?
There
needs
to be more Paul Tompkins albums, that's for sure.
Yeah, I agree.
Make that happen. You can listen to his podcast, which is fantastic.
Pod of Tomcast. Yeah, Paul's up there with like one of my all-time favorite writers. He's another guy where you go, wow, what an amazing attack on that premise. And then just watching him deep dive down tangent holes is mind-blowing.
Pop it back up and you still know where he's at. You know, and then going back down again.
Just listen to his peanut brittle bit on Impersonal. So fucking funny.
Impersonal is a perfect record.
It's one
of the all-time best comedy records.
So
which we've established is very common.
Yeah. Peanut brittle. Also Elegant Balloons. Who could forget Elegant Balloons?
Elegant Balloons.
I drive by that a lot.
I didn't decollapse my opera hat for this.
Decollapse my opera hat. Oh, God damn it.
Let's get Paul back on.
We should. We will. We'll get Paul back on. We'll get Paul back on. Well, I'm very into, I'm looking at comedy specials a lot now because I'm going to, I can't exactly give any details, but I think I'm going to make one early next year.
You can just say you're going to make one. You don't have to give the details.
Okay. I think I'm going to make one early next
Hooray!
Year.
I'm going to make one eventually.
That's a big news.
It is big news. The problem for me is that I've been so busy with other stuff that I have not been able to do the regular kind of club gigs like I had in previous years.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden I had a diarrhea moment where I just realized like, oh shit, that's in a couple months and I don't know if I'm ready.
Yeah.
You know, like just in terms of there's no substitute for doing tons of sets to tighten up your material and to fill in all the gaps and to make sure everything kind of, you know, works together.
Yeah.
So I hope I don't fuck that up. But I'm going to be doing a ton of shows. What?
I said, we'll give you more time on the Nerdist shows.
Oh, I appreciate that.
We won't ramble.
Yeah, I went and did Myra's Day Off the other day.
Yeah. Nice.
I got to say, if it's okay, I need to pop up on the Wednesday show at Meltdown a bunch.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to start doing a bunch more shows, too, because the last Friday of January.
Friday.
I'm going to be recording my next record.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Do you have a name for it yet?
Yes. It's another line from the Mystery Science Theater movie, and it's going to be called Hello, Mr. Magic Plane Person, Hello.
The last Friday of January?
Yes.
The 27th?
Yeah.
Are you going to make a 78?
No, it's going to be another 7-inch record at 33 speed, 33 RPM.
You should have 78. The kids are loving the 78.
Yeah, the glass record. It's going to be on glass. but it's going to be on AST Records.
It's going to be on a wax cylinder.
It's going to be the same guys who put out my last record, AST.
Yep.
And
specialthing.com.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
You should put them together and make a 14-inch.
No, I'm going to put
the records don't work that way.
No, that's how it works.
He's going to put out a 21-inch. You order records like pizza.
Yes, exactly.
Who got the 21-inch, Jonah Ray?
I'd love
it's
going
to be a free show, and I want everyone to come out.
Where are you recording it?
I'm going to do it at Meltdown.
Awesome!
I figure I have to do it at Meltdown.
You got to do it at Meltdown.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it going to be a Wednesday show, or are you going to do a separate show?
No, I'm going to do it like it's on Friday.
Oh, you said that
we
already.
We just established this.
I know. I was trying to erase the Rebecca Black you tried to plant in my head.
Shit. oh, shit.
What, you're not going to do it anymore?
No, you know that fucking house we live next to?
I know the fucking house, the crack house you live next door to.
Well, it's like, you know, they're, like, they cleared out like people that were there, they boarded it up. And then
the crack nest.
There's a guy that's been like, he's been there fixing up the place. He like fixed up the back house, made it really nice.
By fixing up, do you mean like put in special doors for passwords for people to go in and get crack?
No. Like, it's like this guy's been doing a legitimate job of like cleaning up the entire house and making it like a livable place where they can, so they can sell it. But a guy or two that used to hang out there still shows up and tries to get in, and he's there right now. And Deanna said the guy was back checking out under the car tarp. A lady with a dog was with him and took the mail from the house. They saw me using the phone and left.
Sounds like a Lou Reed song.
Yeah.
Those are lyrics.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do?
Well, it fucking sucks because Deanna's there by herself and, like, you know.
I ought to go Christmas shopping.
Well,
that'll take all day.
Can I tell?
It's not about leaving.
It's just
and
creepy.
Not like.
Well, you're saying
the
you're there by yourself.
It's not about just like, you know.
Do you have a dog?
Looking the other way. What?
Do you have a dog?
Yeah.
Oh, you do have a dog.
Yeah, yeah. Ruby.
Oh, you got a wiener dog.
No, it's a little chubby corgi mutt.
Nah, I think it's a wiener dog.
Yeah,
I just reassigned your dogs.
Yeah, yeah.
Can I tell the Deanna story from the other night?
Yeah.
It's so funny.
This is something I got to handle.
All right.
I just like, because she's there by herself. Those people are sketchy. I got to call her. I got to call the cops or something like that. Tell them to come by and tell them to get away.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. Sorry.
That's all right.
Yeah. Tell me.
Yeah, whatever
story.
You want to protect your girlfriend and stuff.
I wouldn't.
Oh, hey, Greta, you'll be fine. There's a kitchen knife in the drawer. The one we got at Target.
Good for mass stabbing. that was another time too when I was driving. Speaking of weirdly being insulted in public, just arbitrarily. I was turning on Fairfax and Third, and I was taking a right, and a guy coming in on his bike yelled, "Slow down, fatty."
That sucks.
It was very strange. I mean, I was much fatter then, and maybe his point was valid. Perhaps I was going fast and I was fat, but still. It was just weird.
Perhaps Those seem like disparate concepts.
Yeah.
Well, is there anything, do you want to talk about it? Do you want to get some feelings
in? No, it's weird. I mean, she did. I mean, I was like, wow, I bet I do look like a fat asshole right now because I was this disheveled coming back from work.
No, you don't look like a fat asshole.
And I was like, well, my hair wasn't combed. And
that doesn't make you.
And then I looked in my cart and I was like, oh, look at all this beef jerky and M&Ms he's buying. What a fat asshole.
Well, you know, people maybe on the Atkins diet eat beef jerky, I think.
Yeah, that's why I bought the beef jerky. And, but I put back the M&Ms.
But M&Ms are the Fatkins diet.
Yeah. Oh, that would be a great diet.
Most people are on it.
I just want a diet where all I can eat is bread.
You can do that.
Yeah.
It's just not going to be good for you, but you could do it. Nothing's stopping you from doing it.
I ordered this online. I ordered this Atkins makes apparently a mix, like a 2-pound mix that per serving has 5 net carbs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a baking mix. So you can make like pancakes or bread with it.
Okay.
I don't know. I ordered it off Amazon. I have no idea if it's going to be good. Yeah, just to see.
See, I don't think you should eat carbs.
Good carbs.
Good carbs.
Understandably so. Yeah. Right. But when
carbs are your fuel.
Right. But when I do have bread, I should have bread that's not awful for me. If I, you know.
All this fitness stuff is reminding me that.
You bought me a kettlebell?
I got you a kettlebell.
Thank you. I don't. You know,
I see the kettlebells in the gym.
They're so expensive,
and they're kind of I mean, like it was sort of a fad for a while.
Yeah.
And I would caution people, if you're going to swing a kettlebell, you just have to be very careful because you can really fuck your back up. You have to do it exactly the right way to swing the kettlebell.
But
Jonah Ray is back, our own Nerdist Podcast kettlebell. What happened?
Oh, just like, you know, they're there going, because like the guy who's been staying there, he's on a trip right now, and he parked his like car in
they're
the
there, they're queer, get used to it.
And so it's a really serious situation.
But the cops?
No, it's fine. Everything's fine.
Everything's just
squatters. She's okay. She's not harassing. He's the guy's not harassing your house, is he?
No, but it's like it's kind of, you know, it's if they're gonna, like, we were told by the neighbor to just like keep an eye on the house, and they've been known to just break in and stay there, you know.
Right.
So it's like it's you know, neighborly and like they're sketchy, and like she's just there by herself, and you know, I don't know what they're capable of. They live in a river,
right?
You know, so I don't know.
So you're saying that otters have moved in next door?
What river do
they
otters live
in?
River otters. River otters?
There are absolutely river otters.
That's true. I had no idea.
Well, maybe you should get your next tattoo.
Welcome
river
to science.
Otter.
Yes, because of the animal I just found out about should be on my arm for the rest of my life.
Why not?
River otters are adorable.
Yeah.
And way more approachable than their snooty city cousins, the city otters.
City otters with their jugs?
Anyway.
Is it all right? So everything's okay?
Yeah, everything's fine.
Okay,
everything's
good. Fine. Can I tell the just Deanna story from the other night?
Because
it's so fucking funny. What? If most people who are listening who have not met Deanna, she's just one of the sweetest, also most earnest and sincere people. Like when you talk to her, she's funny. She's funny, but she's really sweet.
Yeah, she's a very, very like awesomely sweet girl.
And she's
not one of those people that's like, it's like, so nice that you were thrown off by it.
Here's how I know you guys are perfect for each other. Like, you know, in a movie or like in a TV show where, you know, like one person meets who was obviously like the female counterpart to that person. That's Deanna for you. Like you guys are so perfectly suited for each other. And this cemented that for me. But we did a show at UCB Tournament of Nerds at UCB the other night.
Which got incredibly racist.
It got more from not on my end.
Not on two white guys.
No, it was other people on the show. But anyway, I mean, and not in an aggressive way, but
no,
like
just like in everyone just going for it
in a hey, we're being shocking comedians kind of a way.
Yeah,
I mean, to the point where I mean the show was fun, but I think at the end of the show I was like, I just want to go home.
But
it was fun. But anyway. And no, I'm not saying racism is fun, so please just stop that email you're typing right now.
Yeah.
So we
start typing when you say all right.
No, I was hitting delete.
I saw Deanna right after the show, and I go, and there were a few of us hanging around, and I go, hey, you gonna hang out after the show?
And Deanna, as sincerely and earnestly as possible, goes, "No, I really have to shit, and I don't want to shit here. I'm just gonna go home and shit." And it was, and I was like, "Well," at first I thought, "Is that a euphemism?" And they're like, "No, she really means." And then she kind of had her arms crossed, but it was such the way that it was like the movie Big, like a kid was put in an adult's body, and that's what they would say. That's what a kid would say. I really have to shit. Can I go home and shit?
Yeah.
And it was so adorable. And I know that you are a fan of pooping.
You're a big fan. Yeah.
And so, which is not me making a joke. You have a whole bit in your act about how much you love it.
Yeah.
And so that to me was like, that Jonah has found.
Yeah, I mean, she's so earnest, and she doesn't want to. She doesn't want to shit there.
I really have to shit, and I gotta go home and shit.
Well, it's because you know, and I know it's like in her thought process, it's just like you know, it's no big deal. Sometimes people just gotta take a shit.
That's obviously human.
The bathroom's there, not the best.
It's a human thing.
Yeah, and then like it's just you know, she also doesn't want to be the person that's like, nah, we're just gonna go. Right. Everyone's gonna be like, oh, what an asshole.
What, are you gonna take a shit or something?
Yeah, exactly. Fucking no qualms about it. Just gotta take a shit. Yeah, she's the best.
Thinking back to how many nights I would have enjoyed more had I just shit. Like, you know, when you're like hanging out with your friends when you're like 17 and you're like, oh, I'll just shit later. And then, or was that just me?
No, we shit when we were teenagers too.
Yeah. No, I didn't. Like, I would just hold it and then get very uncomfortable.
Why didn't you just take a shit?
I don't know. I'm shitting blood now. I think I have a bleeding ulcer. That's fun, right?
How do you just fucking drop something like that on your friends, like, and just like, and like, be so lackadaisical about it? Have you gone to the doctor?
No, I don't have.
You
insurance.
Really need to go.
No,
to
you
the
don't fucking need insurance to go to a doctor when you're shitting blood.
It's all right.
You, it's I don't know if that's all right.
No, it's
Matthew.
Fine.
It's not. It it's hurt. One of like the things they say that, like, you know, that's it's like dangerous. It means something bad.
Yeah.
It could be a bleeding ulcer. It could be a lot of things.
Yeah. Well, not to get. Not to get gross, because this just took a weird turn. but if you also, it's possible to experience that phenomenon if you're popping blood vessels when
drinking.
The business is coming out.
Yeah, no, it's not that. It's clotted. It's probably.
How long has that been going on?
Like a week.
Would you please call a doctor?
Dude, you can go to like a walk-in clinic and you can just pay $80.
Yeah, like I'm made of money, Jones.
You are.
You fucking order weird guitars on eBay. Would you order a doctor on eBay for your fucking colon?
Wait, I can get
right over
eBay
on
doctor?
Fountain and Highland.
Would you pretend that the doctor visit is a left-handed Kurt Cobain guitar?
Citizens Medical Group. I go there all the time. They're great.
Do it.
What?
Go fucking today.
Now I'm busy.
No, yeah, you're busy losing blood from your anus. You need to fucking go to the doctor.
Guys, it'll be fine. Don't worry.
Oh, my God.
Man.
So worried about this
casually,
kid.
To casually just bring it up to you. Like,
we were talking about
friends.
Shit. What? It was on subject for once.
It's not cute.
The
man.
Most unforgettable 4 minutes of Nerdist podcast ever. In my head, I keep going, should I cut this out? I should probably cut this out. Maybe I should
Why?
Cut all this out.
What's
I don't know
point?
If people want to hear about that right before Christmas. Like, that makes any difference.
Yeah.
Right before Christmas. You're talking about, do you want me to go ahead and name this episode Christmas Shits? Because I will do it.
Yes.
No, I can't.
You can't.
Christmas
three, you
shits
can't.
Aren't black.
You can't do that. So how are you guys?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. Not shitting blood.
You know when all my black shits happen? On Friday.
Oh, fuck, man. This made me so angry.
Why?
Because it's like a bad thing. It's a bad
He's
thing
worried
to
about
shit
you.
Blood.
We're both worried about you.
Fine.
All right.
We're at two from here.
The McDonough funeral home. For Matt.
Yeah.
And this time he's not gonna be helping other people.
It's gonna be some weird fucking kind of like some kind of war movie where Chris and I are gonna have to accompany the casket all the way back to Boston.
Yep, that's right. A road trip movie where we learn a little bit about ourselves.
It sounds great, you guys.
Taking our friend back who wouldn't get his weird rectal clots investigated.
I'm sure it'll stop eventually.
Yes, when you die. Well, just please take care of yourself, Matthew.
Andy,
because we love you. We want you to take care of yourself.
Sorry, Matt. I didn't mean to get angry at you, but you understand why, right? You understand why I do these things to you.
See, here comes the love.
The what?
Push out the jive. Bring in the love.
That's just me being concerned.
What are you doing?
I'm looking up Clements.
I thought you were looking at blood in the stool.
Oh, wait. They're not. They don't fucking post anymore. I don't know how to check them.
Yeah, I have them on my phone. I got some on my phone.
Are we at the halfway part?
We are at the halfway part. We should do a couple of those,
Is that how we do it?
Do we have other matters to...
I do want to talk about a couple of things before we get to that.
We usually end up doing Clements about halfway through.
We do, yeah.
I have a heart out, so go.
Your heart out has clots in it.
We got the this Saturday night. We got the end of the year special.
Nerdist TV special, year in review.
Yeah.
With you guys and Mike Furman and Will Wheaton and Nathan Fillion and Simon Pegg and David Tennant.
Kumail Nanjiani.
And we announced the Nerdist of the Year Award. And the show it's fun. I hope people, I don't know. I take everything with maybe I'm biased because I love everyone who was on the show. But the cut that I saw was really fun. And it airs BBC America at 9, 8 Central on Christmas Eve. So please watch it, and I hope you like it.
Yeah,
because it was really fun.
Yeah, and if you don't, a few more. Don't worry about it.
We'll win you back.
Yeah.
We'll win you back. So watch that. Also, I believe as a way to promote Hall & Oates being added to Rock Band, they made a there's a thing called Call & Oates, and you call 719-26-OATES, OATES.
Do you know about this, John?
No.
Oh, it's great. We did it on the show yesterday.
Oh, you did?
Back of the show, yeah.
Here, let me see if I can.
Is it like Song a Day? Like a,
yeah, kind of.
Giants?
Kind of.
Here we go. What did I say? 716 or 719? 719.
719.
719. 26. OATES. Let's see if we can get this to work.
It's very quiet.
Oh, yeah. No, that didn't work.
Is it on speaker?
Here, I'll do it on speaker. Hang on.
I have it right here. It's from Colorado.
Wait. Here, I got it.
All right.
Welcome to Call & Oates, your emergency Hall & Oates helpline. To hear one-on-one, please press 1. To hear it go, please press 2. To hear Manita, please press 3. To hear private cries. You're a rich girl, and you're gone too far, cause you know it don't matter anyway.
You can rely on the old man's. And it just plays the whole song, and then it hangs up.
That's great.
Great. It's a bitch girl, but it's gone too far, cause you know it don't matter anyway. You better get your blood clots checked out. Get your blood clots checked out. You don't know. From your butt. No, you wanted to hear Private Eyes. Yep. Oh, hey, here we go. Yeah, so Call & Oates was a fun thing that they did. It was really fun.
Good work, everybody.
Which, and then that made me want to explore my adult contemporary password protection software, Kenny Loggins.
Oh,
that was funny.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that.
Yep. Yeah, I tweeted that.
Yeah, you put in the wrong password enough times and you go in the danger zone.
Oh, hey. I'm getting a little older now. Now I just take Surface Streets to the danger zone. Hey, get out of town, you guys.
Surface Streets to the danger zone.
Take a fountain. Or Olympic.
Stopping at the light, waiting for the traffic, gal. Taking a long time. Everything is stop and go.
Nice.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just improv that. I should be on Whose Line?
You should be on Wildin' Out.
Oh, God. Those are the worst words you could ever say to a person. Those are literally the worst words. Second two, I think I'm bleeding rectally. The next one is you should be on Wildin' Out.
Oh, you know what I did when I was
I don't know that because I wasn't with you.
I watched all of Game of Thrones. Great show.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Great show.
I know.
I really enjoyed it.
It really is a fun, delightful show.
Yeah, I like
Val Lannisters.
Hey, Paul Bonanno.
Hey, Paul Bonanno.
Paul and I just posted a video today that we made for The Soup where it's a commercial for a new doll called the Justin Bieber Real Hair Hair Doll.
And what is this?
It's a Justin Bieber doll made out of his actual hair.
Hey, that's awesome.
So check that out.
What is that post?
It's on my website, jonahray.com.
jonahray.com.
.com.
A Lannister always pays his debts.
Yes.
I do. Oh, I have to, you know, I there are probably several mistakes that I made in my book.
Is that happening right now?
Just in terms of like, you know, I think there's a typo here and there.
Oh, wait, there is something. There's something I heard because I was listening to the audio version, and there's like a there's a reference that I think you shift a character name in within the reference.
I did?
Yeah. I can't remember what it is, but I remember it's like you. It's like it's and it still makes sense because like you know it's like it's weird because it passed by, and then like I remember just like I was like wait did he is it like is like I think it just like it's a slight it's just another character from the same movie.
It's fun. It's funny because you, the audio recording process, is, it feels weird.
Is it rushed?
It's not that it's rushed. It's just that you know you go in and they give you your book in just a stack of pages.
Yeah.
And you just get through however much your voice can handle in a day. And for me, I could really only talk for 2 hours straight in each session.
Really? It took, your career is basically just talking all the time.
Try talking nonstop for 2 hours, nonstop.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're not just like talking like conversationally. You're talking up here because you're trying to, get across. So imagine without stopping. Just straight talking, and 2 hours is about before your voice starts to go.
Kind of like
a
Man in the Moon.
Yeah, when he reads. Yeah,
if you believe. Yep.
Kind of like how Andy Kaufman did that.
Yep.
And so it really is a. You just don't realize. Like, I would leave those sessions. My entire fucking head would hurt because my throat was so torn up from.
Would you do any exercises beforehand?
No.
Book. Talk.
I'm gonna talk about me.
Not you.
No, but someone asked me, you know, the whole fitness section of the book, I refer to trainer Tom.
Yeah.
And
he's in a Web Soup sketch.
Tom is in a Web Soup sketch. But also just a great guy and certainly a guy who, you know, completely changed my life. And so I always refer to him as Trainer Tom in the book. And then someone emailed me, they're like, hey, I wanted to get a hold of Tom, but you didn't say his last name. And I was like, sure I did. It's in the thank you part. I looked it up. He's in the thank you part, as you know, like he gets thanked as Tom Dieters, but I didn't. Just in the body of the book,
yeah.
I just kept referring to him as Trainer Tom, and I think in my head I thought, oh, I said who? Of course, I said who he was. Yeah. So if you do, Tom is an amazing guy, sweet guy,
based out of Orange County now, right?
Based out of Orange County. If you have questions for him or whatever, you can tweet him at Tom J Dieters, Dieters.
Yeah.
So sorry about that. I'll try to correct that in the softback version of the book. Just an amazing, super sweet guy.
Such like the nicest guy.
And I mean, genuinely cares about people.
Yeah. It's funny when we were shooting that sketch for Web Soup, like there was a part in the set that kind of wobbled when the door opened, and I made an Ed Wood reference and I just kind of said the first line and then he said the next line and I was like, oh wow, you're awesome.
Yeah.
You're a great, smart guy.
Yeah, he's great.
Because he's just this like nice, spiritual, buff guy, and you don't like really expect him to kind of be as on it as
he is. The heart of a nerd. Like it's so funny. As much as nerds kind of, I think, sort of like it's very polarizing where at least for me, when I was growing up, I realized like, okay, I'm not gonna fall into the physical camp. So I'm just gonna go as far into this other direction as possible, which is, you know, all the nerdy stuff that I love. And Tom has always been super like fitness guy, karate guy, like Mr. Physical. But deep down inside, he's always wanted to be a nerd. And when you look at all of his clients, they're like, he has a client that he's swapping Photoshop lessons because he likes to take, he's a photographer too. That's awesome. So he's swapping Photoshop lessons and, you know, just like learning how to do all computer stuff in exchange for fitness lessons, which is like the fucking coolest thing in the world.
That's great.
So give Tom J. Dieters a shout on Twitter and tell him hi and that you send him hugs. So we also have questions.
We have comments?
Well, we have questions that are comments.
That would make them quemens.
That would definitely make them quemens.
But if they're questions...
Well, but there's also some comments.
Join in anytime, Matt.
Oh, I'm waiting for a room, and you guys just going for it.
Yeah. Oh, welcome to the podcast.
Can I take your order? This is from Christy Bickley. Listening to
my favorite model.
She was really good. Uptown Bick. Listening to the Joel David Moore podcast, you guys are talking about how far cell phones have come in the last 8 years. Just a sign of the times. The most common phrases out of my three-year-old's mouth are, "Mom, can you unlock your iPhone? I refuse to give her the code so I can still monitor when she plays with it. And I want to text and email." Definitely not words I said as a three-year-old. Anxious to see what is on the horizon for her technology-wise. Well, her kids won't speak with words. They will communicate via a series of blinks and telepathic downloads.
Yes. It'll be much like the diving bell and the butterfly.
Exactly like that. Exactly like that.
Oh, you know what? A lot of people after our J.J. Abrams... like they were talking about, you know, no horror anthology movies. And everyone brought up Trick or Treat. Yes, I forgot to mention Trick or Treat, which is a great, great movie if you haven't seen it. But like we were talking more, I think, about like TV shows like Twilight Zone and Tales from the Crypt. That like there's like there needs to be more of those.
I agree.
Yeah.
I wonder why
they're showing some channel right now is showing a bunch of Alfred Hitchcock presents, which are always not as good as Twilight Zones, but you know, still fun to watch. It's not like one with like a really young Bruce Dern, a really young Leslie Nielsen.
This is from Jonah Mosian.
It's a dumb name,
right?
The Jonah part. Is that what you were saying?
That's what I was saying.
Dear Snack Dynamos. Oh, this is for Mike and Tom Eat Snacks, which is
I didn't know you acquired.
Yes,
that.
Yes, yeah, we got yes, guys. Michael Ian Black and Tom Cavanaugh. It was. I mean, I've known Mike Black for a long time, but I didn't know that. That their podcast was being removed from the network they were on before, and so Kumail sent me an email and said, "Hey, you know, I know that their podcast is making some changes. Maybe this would be a good fit for you," and so. Mike Black and I emailed each other and I said, I fucking would do it in a second. He said, great. Nice. And so Mike and Tom Eat Snacks with Michael Ian Black and Tom Cavanaugh is now on the Nerdist Network.
Talk about it.
They eat snacks and talk about it. So, I mean, I guess I could read this comment, but it's really for Mike and Tom Eat Snacks.
We're gonna have to get like separated comments now.
You gotta keep them separated. My least favorite band of the 90s, The Offspring, just in case you ever wanted to know.
Really? Least favorite?
Least favorite.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow. Thanks.
It represented everything about like frat guy rock that I couldn't.
Well, they're fans.
Really thought the Dave Matthews Band was going to make this.
Who's fans?
List.
Offspring fans. I mean, they were like legit like punk band from Orange County, but like it's like they just kind of became a surf jock kind of.
I think that's what it was. I don't have anything against them personally.
I do.
I just the music to me like just felt too male and aggressive for the kind of. Soft alternative Radiohead rock that I was into.
Yeah,
soft alternative rock.
That's Smash by Offspring was the it was such a big hit for Epitaph Records that they made so much money that they had to spend it all in that year. So everyone that worked for Epitaph, even down to the forklift operators, got what was called the Smash bonus, which was like they all got thousands of dollars as a bonus for the end of the year.
Really?
Because they just had to not have the money.
Oh wow!
Yeah, they had to like liquidate the money.
Were you an Offspring fan?
No, I never really got into them. I mean, like it was just part of that wave of punk that came out around that time, and I got that first album. Never got it because I shied away from the punk that like a lot of surfers listen to, like you said, the kind of male jockey surfer guy type.
It just makes me think of like frat guys in a house near a keg, chest bumping and fucking high fiving and talking about pussy.
It's hard. It's hard to not blame a band for the fans that they get. Like you think about your average Rage Against the Machine fan has no idea what they're talking. Like has no idea what Rage Against the Machine is really trying to say,
or how nerdy Tom Morello actually is.
Or or any of the political beliefs. They just don't get it.
They don't get it. What the fuck? I'm mad now, Jonah.
I'm sorry, Chris.
Well, that's all right. That's all right. I had another Kremen here, and I just accidentally... I went to grab my phone, and it leapt into the trash. Which was not my fucking...
I have to go.
Where are you going?
I gotta shoot B-roll.
Well, before you shoot B-roll, you have a minute, right?
I gotta go upstairs and grab the fucking computer.
All the way upstairs.
Well, it's all the way over there now.
This is from Eric Solomon. Hey, guys, my name is Eric Solomon. We listen to Nerdist a bunch at the shop I own called Night Owl's Print Shop. It's a screen printing shop in Houston, Texas.
Nice.
Hey, maybe Michael Yeo will stop by and they can screen print a Kardashian thing. First and foremost, thanks for the enjoyable content. Second, if you ever have a need, we screen print all sorts of stuff here, from tees to gig posters, and do a ton of other promo stuff. If you can ever do anything for the podcast, we'd be honored and love to. Thanks again for the podcast. Sure, make a thing.
Yeah.
Why not?
Houston is where Southpaw Guitars is.
Willie's Guitars is the guitar shop I was thinking of in St. Paul, Minnesota, that's going to fucking blow your mind.
I'm going to go. Southpaw, though, they just sell left-handed guitars. It's probably Mecca for me.
This equipment is from P. Squidlund. And it's Buvnijipa. And then a bunch of links. It's spam. We got spammed. We got spammed. We got to spam it. Spam it.
I have a studio crew waiting for me.
All right. Well, why don't you brag some more?
Yeah. Don't shed any blood on your way out the door.
No, I'll try not to.
Do it on the other side of the door.
Cool.
Don't do it on your way.
Well, you still have to walk by.
Please go to the doctor and take care of yourself. Please.
I'm very busy, you guys.
I am imploring you. Make it my Christmas and birthday present. Go take care of yourself.
Bye, Matt.
Bye, Matthew. The fuck?
It upsets me.
What are we going to do with that guy?
I don't know. Like,
do you understand now, when you have someone you care about who's younger, what it must be like for a parent to watch their kid do stupid things?
Yeah.
You're like, God damn it. Would you just fucking straighten up? It's so easy to just do this thing so you don't die.
Like, I would be, and I get that. I get that fear that takes place when, like, something like that happens where you want to make it lighthearted. You want to make it a joke. It's like, oh, I'm feeling dizzy. Like, I got the feeling of this weird lump in my head. And, like, you know, it's nothing. I'll just joke about it. But, like, you know, I know that knee-jerk reaction. But shitting blood is a serious fucking thing. And I know he's
it's not good.
I know he's scared. But, like, come on.
Yeah, he should really go to the doctor.
Yeah.
He should really go to the doctor. But we can't make him.
No. I mean, I'll pay his, like, it's $80 to just go and get checked up.
I will pay that, too. But he won't.
Anyway, how's everything with you?
That's fine. I'm not, I don't have blood coming out of me, which is nice.
Yeah, that sickness was gnarly that I got.
Was it a mega flu or a shitty cold? Or
it was a shitty cold, but, you know, I rarely get sick. So it was just like, when I do, it just takes me out. Like, I was really, like, just out of it and head throbbing the whole time. And also, you know, when I get stuffed up and my nose is just leaking, I get postnasal drip. And it just goes all down to my chest, and, you know, and then there'll be like a week of me just hacking up stuff.
That's where you can get bronchitis, because that's when infections occur.
Yeah, exactly. That's actually what, growing up, I would get chronic bronchitis. I would get it every few months because I would have allergies, stuffed up, postnasal drip, infection, every time.
Maybe that should be the name of your album.
Postnasal drip?
Postnasal drip.
Every time.
Every time.
Yeah. No, I got it because I got to go with the original plan of having all three albums have the name taken from Mystery Science Theater, the movie.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's going to be good. I think A side's going to be pretty tight, and I think the B side's going to be just really filthy.
This is your third album?
This is my second
album. Your second album.
Yeah.
It's funny. You've been doing comedy for less time than I have, and you're already putting out your second album, and I still have not put out a first album.
Well,
but it took Paul F. like 20 years to put out his album, too.
And, like, you know, I'm not saying I have gotten to a place where I should. But I've always talked about, like, I have an aesthetic of just being, you know, like in bands where it's just like, you know, you get some songs together, you record, you put out an EP.
Yeah, I've been too, like, precious about it.
I'm, like, trying not to be precious about it, because then I think I'll just, like, with so many other things I do, where it's like I'm just not going to do it because I'm like, no, I got to wait till I can do it right.
I know. I'm the same way, or in that sense where I'm like, it's not perfect yet. Yeah. Like, you know what?
But imperfections are what make things great sometimes.
But I also, you know, the other part of it is I want to put this chunk of material out that I'm working on the last few years,
and then just
and then I'm done with it, yeah. And then I can and then I fucking just start over.
Yeah, I want to hear some more personal stuff.
For me,
yeah,
it's always been hard for me to write personal stuff because it's so personal, and it's not that I'm ashamed to talk about stuff.
No, and
it's
you're not just a guarded person in like not, in real life. I mean, like with like interacting with your
sure,
friends.
Sure. Yeah. I think it's just you know. The funny thing about what's not funny about it is that, like, you know, I mean, my dad is a professional bowler. You'd think I'd have tons of material about that. Yeah. But in the end, I kind of just go, I don't know what's funny about that. It was just, I don't know. If I really talked about what that was like, it might not be funny to people.
I think, you know, like there's something I've been thinking about doing for a while, which is just try to start from the beginning of my life and just try to remember each kind of thing that sticks out.
Yeah,
and write everything I remember of it, and then kind of take a look at it, see if there's any themes, see if there's anything ridiculous about it.
Maybe I would do that too. I would do that too. I mean, I do that too, and I'm just excited because like all of the old material that I had written, you know, before I was a little more comfortable with who I am, you know, publicly on stage or whatever, just about the stuff that I'm into and the nerd stuff that I love. Like all of that old material about like growing up in the South and the like rednecks, like all that material is gone. Like that will not be on the special.
Oh, it's not.
Nope. I'm so happy to be done with
it.
Really? Yeah. I mean, it doesn't really.
I mean, not to say that's. I mean, they're great jokes.
I appreciate that, but I also feel like they don't really say a lot about who I am. First of all, and secondly, I did them on the John Oliver special on Comedy Central, and I don't want to repeat that stuff.
Yeah, because that's already out there.
It's already out there, and I just feel like it doesn't really say anything about who I am now.
Yeah,
and
it's
so
just the guy's comments on that.
Yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like anyone could have written those jokes.
Yeah,
So I you know, I'm trying to put together stuff that's and I feel like I'm fucking crazy to try to do it by February, which is when I'm gonna record.
But you know, you're the kind of, you've always been the kind of guy to just like buckle down and do it.
I don't doubt that I will buckle down and do it.
And the work ethic that you got from writing that book, where you were just like, you know, you were just in the shop, you know, the coffee shop every day, just doing it.
That it's probably stupid, but it's part of the reason why I kind of wanted the date to be so soon, because I knew that I would not have time to like go back and forth about stuff. But then the only thing that freaks me out a little bit is like, well, maybe this is a case where you really should be going back and forth about stuff.
Yeah.
I just know that. You know, I hope that the hour is going to be as tight as I want and need it to be.
Post.
For the special. Well, yeah, but post can't add jokes that should be in there.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, that's I don't true. Know. I guess I'm just trying to follow the advice that I, you know, freely throw at other people like I fucking know anything.
Yeah.
And which is just like, you know, you just fucking do it. And there's nothing more motivating than having a deadline, having a date, having a project due, some sort of an event that will motivate you from, you know, out of the very unmotivated state of like, oh, we just have an open-ended thing.
Yeah.
And, hey, it's Attack of the Show producer Sean Jordan. Oh, Matt. Oh, that's so sweet. Matt just went to go shoot B-roll for Attack of the Show.
I'll eat it.
How you doing, Sean Jordan? Nice to see you too. What is that?
Balsamic marinated steak, chicken mashed potatoes, a cranberry pie, and a three bean salad.
Wow. That smells amazing. Where did that come from?
There's some up in the 3F upstairs. AOTS lunch.
Apartment 3F? The Sklar's Brothers? The Sklar Brothers show?
Lost reference.
Totally lost reference.
Yeah, yeah. I told you I did their podcast, right?
Scarborough Country?
Yeah, the Scarborough Country. It's actually going to be this week. It's this week's episode. They call me. They're like, we finally figured out a way to have you on the show. I was like, well, how? They're like, we're going to do an end of the year top five indie rock song. And so it was like them. They each picked five. I picked five. And Matt picked five.
Awesome.
Yeah. It was a fun time.
Love those guys. You did Who Charted too.
I did Who Charted this week. So fun. You have to do it.
It's just
It's such a goofy fun time.
Like, I absolutely
Kulav,
will.
Kulav is like you know, she's always been great. She's always been really funny, but she really has figured something out.
I love those Earwolf guys. I did the Apple Sisters show, the Christmas special for the Apple Sisters.
Yeah, it's my third. It's my third Earwolf being on an Earwolf podcast. Guys, I did. Did you do? How did this get made?
I did do How Did This Get Made.
Which movie? What was your movie?
It was Season of the Witch.
Oh,
Nicolas
nice.
Cage.
I also had The Wicker Man, so we both had Nicolas Cage. If they ever have Matt on it, they should get him to do
it. It was such a fun podcast. Like, we literally went to the Grove that day, watched Season of the Witch together.
See, that's awesome. That's
and then went straight to the studio and recorded the podcast, so it was all fresh.
Man, that's because, yeah, I watched, because we just had to watch it.
Yeah.
So, like, they're like, he's like, hey, here's a link to the video, or the movie. So go watch Wicker Man. But anyway.
Well, that's good.
Well, you were saying there is a large part of just having the blind faith that you'll pull it off when you go and do something.
There's a little bit of stupidity in that.
Yeah. And like this, the thing is, like, you know, what was I, 4 years in, maybe 5 years in by the when I did that first 7-inch?
Well, you know what's crazy is that in 2002, Rob Zombie had some sort of a deal with Warner Brothers Records where he could just make stuff.
Yeah, and he wanted to do the Hard Firm record, right?
No, he wanted to do my stand-up record.
Oh.
So Rob was going to produce my stand-up album, and I was still shitty and drinking at the time and a fucking mess. And but, you know, I just got really precious about it, and so I would record sets, and I'd take him over to his house, and he'd be like, this sounds great. And then I just got afraid, and I put it off because I didn't think it was going to be perfect. And he was like, look, just put it out. Like, just get it out into the world, you know? And then whatever you didn't like from the first one, then you can do better the second one.
Yeah, I think that's a music mentality.
Well, a lot of the philosophy that I have about, like, how to work and how to get work done comes from Rob Zombie.
Yeah.
Because he is a guy who, he just, you know, when he gets an idea, he just figures out how to make it. He just fucking does it.
Yeah, and like, you know, it took him a long time to finish 1,000 Corpses.
A very long time.
Yeah.
And so I really feel like I need to not be precious about it. And so I think I'm gonna go to Portland between Christmas and New Year's. And I noticed that Al Madrigal is performing up at Helium in Portland,
oh, nice.
Which is a great new club. The Philly club, Helium, opened a West Coast club.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They've been
in Portland, which everyone says
doing
is great.
Good jobs.
So I called Al and asked him if I could get up and just do some sets out of town over the, you know, between Christmas and New Year's. At Helium in Portland, and he said, "Sure." And fucking Brendan Walsh is going to be there too.
So
I'm going to be doing a handful of sets, guest sets, on the show with Al Madrigal and Brendan Walsh at Helium in Portland next week.
Who's hosting?
I don't know.
Probably Ron Funches.
Does Ron live up in Portland?
Ron lives in Portland. Yeah.
Fucking hope Ron Funches is on that show.
He showed up to our meet and greet at Ground Control when we were up there. But but I think he left right before you got there.
Oh, no, I saw Ron there. I saw him there. Yeah, so I will definitely be going to Ground Control while I'm up there.
Yeah,
and I kind of wanted to get out of town a little bit because it's dead here. And
that's why I love it.
And I know, but I'm afraid that if I stay in town, I'll end up doing more work.
Yeah.
And I kind of want a little bit of a break. So even though I still managed to fit some work into... So I just want to go to Portland.
Like, you'll be hanging out during the day and you'll be riding. It's a beautiful city.
I just want to go to Portland, hang out, eat delicious food, write, you know, like work, like just focus on writing, trying to write some new jokes, trying them out in Portland, and then coming back.
Are you going to stay in a hotel? You're going to try and find like a house for rent?
I'm going to stay in a hotel.
Okay, cool.
I'm going to stay in a hotel. And so that should be fun. You're in town?
Yeah, Dee and I are sticking around. We were thinking about going to a cabin like we did last year, but like, you know, we live in a house and, you know, we have the dog and the cat, so we kind of have a cabin to ourselves, you know. So we're going to stick around. Stabbing cabin. But we're going to, like Christmas Eve, we're going to go and like, you know, like just kind of go and just eat and drink. And like they're showing a Battle Royale at CineFamily.
Oh, that's cool.
You remember, Battle Royale? It's the Japanese movie that it never really came out in any official capacity in theaters out here. But I saw it at the Hawaii International Film Festival when it was just made. And it's this amazing movie where it's all it's the near future and there's been a big economic collapse in Japan. And there's this big divide between the younger generation, and the older generation.
Where
a lot of violence is going on. And so there's this thing where it's like they don't really have enough. They have too many people. And they got to kind of weed them out. And so there's a lottery chosen where a class will just be kind of gassed, thinking they're on their way to a field trip.
Okay.
So they fall asleep and they wake up on this island. And there's this guy saying, okay, your class has been chosen. The last of you who survives this weekend on this island gets to go to college, gets to live and go to college. And they give these kids these packs. They're all just Japanese.
Oh, but then they got to go to college and there's homework.
But they get to survive. Oh. But they all have these collars around their neck. So if they go into, if they try to escape or if they try to not die, if there's like multiple people alive by the end of the time, they all die.
So it's like Running Man, but with college students instead of
like
prisoners.
Running Man, and so they all have to kill each other. So it's like Running Man and Clockwork Orange and Lord of the Flies.
Is it Netflixable?
Yeah, you can Netflix it. Like you have to order the disc, or you can go see it at CineFamily.
Oh, it's at CineFamily.
Yeah, they're doing a whole run of it.
Oh shit, yeah. CineFamily.org.
CineFamily.org is it's the best. They're doing really like it's our. We finally have like something close to the Alamo Drafthouse, and it's CineFamily.
It is, yeah. I don't think they serve booze there, like at the Alamo.
They don't have food or booze. I mean, they have like cupcakes that are really.
But that's
good
not why you go. I mean, like you go to see good stuff.
And they have great stuff.
And they're
there.
Consistently like they're consistently fantastic.
Yeah, it's really really cool. I'm actually gonna get the like a black card membership for Christmas.
Well, this will be our last show of the year, hostful show of the year, because next week I'm gonna put up the. I'm just calling it the stand-up cluster.
Cool, that's great.
And I'm gonna that's a 2-hour show. And so I'm just going to put up one show next week because I feel like it'll take time for people to get through it.
Yeah.
And we're all going to be I'm going to be out of town and so we won't. I feel like we'll just end the year with like a big. With like the big stand-up special.
That's great. Yeah. We really got to. Are we going to do anything for our 2-year anniversary? I guess we're going to be out of town.
Oh baby, I'm sorry. I totally forgot it was our anniversary.
But Chris,
I left your gift at the store. I'll be right back to go get it.
We both just said running to the car, yeah. Peeling out joke. Hey, when I was in London, I heard on the radio an artist that I'd never heard before, and she's fucking great.
What's her name?
Lindy Ortega. Do you know her?
No, I do not.
I had never heard of her. She's Canadian, and she basically is like. She's kind of Sarah Watkinsy. She does like kind of bluegrass, rockabilly, country kind of stuff. And she had a really great Christmas song in there. And I don't probably can't play the whole song, but I think I don't know
part of it, right?
But I could play part of it.
Just comment on it.
Oh, is that what I can do?
I think that's like you can play part of it, but you have to use it not as entertainment, but you're giving commentary on it.
Well, I'm telling people they should go buy it because I bought her Christmas album. And then I bought her other album, which is called Little Red Boots, which is really good.
Yeah.
But I just think this is this is a nice, adorable Christmas song.
Thanks.
My previous favorite Christmas song was the McGarrigle Family Christmas Hour. The McGarrigle Family of Rufus Wainwright.
Oh, yeah.
Singing a song called Spotlight on Christmas, which is a fucking great song.
Nice. I'll check that out.
It's really good. But this one is, this one's called Christmas Eve with You. And it's really nice. See if I can get away with this.
I'm already sold.
Right?
Yeah.
Wait till the lyrics come in. Her voice is awesome.
Great.
Your love is bound to hinder the deep freeze of this winter.
Is that you?
I just pulled into GarageBand and dropped in a harmony.
You ever hear about that? Like the guy from Red Cross took the White Stripes album and just like put bass in it. And then like he released it as a bootleg, but just like photoshopped it into all a bunch of pictures of him.
That's a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
If there's bound to be a storm, I know I'll be safe and warm on this Christmas Eve with you.
Fucking fiddle.
That's great.
Yeah. So
that's really nice.
That's Lindy Ortega. I probably shouldn't play the whole song. I don't want. It's weird. It's like, well, it's promotional, but I want a record label to be like, what do you think you're doing?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
What do you think you're doing with our song?
Yeah.
A? They're Canadian.
Did you get into anything crazy in a... Did you already talk about... You didn't get to talk about your trip to England, really?
I talked about it a little bit.
Oh, okay.
But we should probably let our listeners go now.
How long has it been?
109.
Oh.
Yeah, it's perfect length for a show, really.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, happy Christmas, Jonah Ray.
Happy Christmas, Chris Hardwick.
Happy holiday. Happy everything to everyone.
Yeah, I guess so.
And thanks for sticking around for this year of 2011. It's been a really fun, weirdly... strangely fun,
yeah,
crazy.
A lot of stuff happened to us this year.
A lot of stuff
separately
happened.
Together with the podcast.
Yeah, separately and together, we all got jobs. Yeah.
The pilot.
Some of us went through a breakup.
Yes.
but work stuff was great, and we would not have been able to do it without the people who, you know, tune into the podcast, or which is not how you listen to a podcast. You don't tune in, who watch our stuff and come out and see us live. And, you know, we hope that you'll stick around with us for 2012 because we have more fun stuff coming up. So very sincerely, I say thank you so much. Have great holidays and enjoy your burrito.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.